Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Do you struggle with communicating your progress to your manager? Or what about communicating updates on projects that you're working on? Do you struggle with advocating for adjustments or change in your department? If so, then this episode of being able to communicate your views with clarity and confidence is for you. Welcome to this episode of eLaborate Topics podcast, where I'm your host, Tywana Wilson. In this special episode, we're going to be giving you some strategies that you can use to be able to convey your viewpoints and insights with precision and persuasion. My co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead, bring you this podcast each and every week with different topics that you can benefit from. Make sure that you go out and share this broadcast, because sharing is caring. And make sure you continue to follow us as we deliver new episodes to you. Today, we'll dive deep into strategies that empower you to articulate your position, advocate for your ideas, be able to present your research if you're in the research sector, advocating for any project changes or adjustments, updating your stakeholders for those of you who may struggle with communicating with a diverse audience, but overall, being able to communicate with confidence. The way you communicate can significantly impact your success inside and outside of the laboratory. Today, I'm going to give you four key areas that's going to help you elevate and uplift your communication so that you're able to speak clearly and with confidence. I'm going to infuse some stories to help make these tips practical for you so that after you listen to this podcast, you will be able to implement right away. The first step is understanding your audience. You cannot communicate the same way with each and every audience. If you do so, every audience is going to perceive your message differently. Some of your audiences might catch on right away, but other audiences might be clueless about what you are talking about. As a stakeholder that works with diverse teams, I found that I've had to be a chameleon, if you will, with different audiences as I'm working on projects. If I'm working with a sales group, I may have to communicate in one tone, which is not overly technical, so that me and the sales stakeholders is on the same page. If I'm communicating with my IT resources, that could be another way that I have to communicate, so that it's not too technical, but it is on the same page in which my IT stakeholders can understand. So understanding your audience is key. Let's see how this plays out in the real world. I want you to meet Emily. She's a medical laboratory scientist who faces the challenge of presenting her laboratory testing or her research ideas to a diverse group of mixed audience that consists of scientists, administrators, and also potential investors for her project. Initially, Emily struggled to find the right balance in her presentation. Her message, when she first started talking, was lost in translation, failing to resonate with the non-scientific stakeholders. And what she did is she adapted her presentation to cater to various levels of scientific understanding in her audience. And with this, she started to see an increase in engagement and support for her research. So here are some tips when you are speaking with a diverse audience. The first tip is research your audience. Know your backgrounds, the interests, and the levels of expertise so that you're able to tailor your message effectively. Again, that one message or one shoe fits all does not always work. You also want to speak their language. Adjust your communication style so that you ensure clarity and engagement. If there are very complex concepts, you want to simplify those. You don't want to dilute your message, but you do want to simplify your message so that people can understand. When you do this and you tailor your message, it ensures that it resonates with everybody and it actually facilitates better understanding and support for your message, for your project, for your research. One of the strategies that you can do, especially if you're presenting to a group that maybe you haven't presented to before, is doing some research in advance of conducting. You can conduct a pre-meeting survey with some of the various stakeholders, some informal chats to understand their knowledge base and what are they expecting from the presentation? What are they expecting from your message so that you are able to give them the message in a way in which they can understand? I happened to learn this early when I started getting into the assessment world and started taking different assessments. So you have Myers-Briggs, you have StrengthsFinders. The one that I really like that I think is very simple that helps with understanding other people is DISC. So that is an assessment that I actually am certified and I administer to medical laboratory and healthcare professionals such as yourselves. But what it does is it allows you to understand your way of communicating, so your communication style, but it helps you to understand the other communication styles as well, so that you are able to tailor your message. If you are working with somebody who is a D personality, your direct personality styles, they want fast information. They don't want all the background. They don't want all of the extra information. Give me the facts. Give me the meat and potatoes of what you are trying to talk about. So I think it's very helpful when you use tools like DISC and other tools out there to help you understand your audience so that you are able to tailor your message so that you are not trying to give somebody who was very direct and wanting a simple, quick answer, a long, drawn out story. If you need help understanding your style, just reach out to me and we can talk about how you may better be able to understand your style and how to communicate with others. Just send me a message out there on social media, on LinkedIn, Tywana Wilson. So the first step is understanding your audience. So if you want to communicate with confidence and clarity, you got to understand your audience. The next step is being able to structure your message for impact. You always want to start with the end in mind, beginning with clear statements of your position, of the purpose of your communication. If you think about going to a presentation, what do they give you? The objectives of the talk, right? They say, after you leave this talk, you will learn X, Y, and Z. It's always starting with the end in mind, because what this does is this allows a structured message or structured presentation to enhance comprehension and retention, and it helps make your communication more effective. People want to know the big picture. Why are we here? What's the big message? So it's tempting sometimes to dive into all of the details and get into that and leave your audience hanging where they don't understand the message. So let's talk about a different way that this could be seen in the real world. We're going to share a story about Tom, a project manager. Tom often finds himself rambling during updates. Is this you, where you go into meetings and you're just rambling and the stakeholders are not clear about, okay, where's our progress? What are we doing? So if this is you, listen closely. Tom often finds himself rambling during updates, losing his audience's attention. By learning to structure his communication around clear objectives, highlighting key points first, and then providing necessary details, Tom's updates are able to become more engaging and effective. So again, you always want to start with the end in mind, and this helps your audience to be able to clearly understand what you were saying and retain the information, and it helps them with being able to ask questions if they don't understand. I've been on many projects inside the lab, outside the lab, where the person that was leading the project, when it was time to give updates, they were kind of rambling, giving a lot of extra information that wasn't relevant to the project that I needed to know. And then what happens is it lost me. It would lose me. I wasn't sure if the project was necessarily on target, if there were needs that the stakeholder needed or support from myself or other members of the project team. So you always want to make sure that you're starting with the end in mind. Here's a secret that you can use. I often use this when I'm doing presentations or when I'm speaking to others, but use this like tell me type of strategy. So tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them, and then tell them what you already told them. So if you go and reinforce that, you will start to see maximum impact for your projects. So think about those presentations that you go to. Think about those conferences that you go to. What is the typical structure? They give you the, here's what we're going to talk about. Here's the learning objectives I told you. And then they go in detail about those learning objectives. I'm telling you again. And then what happens at the end of the presentation or the talk? They say, this is what I said I was going to tell you, right? So if you use that when you are advocating for your project, for your ideas, when you are presenting your research or trying to articulate your position or your stance on a particular topic, I guarantee you, you will start to see more success than what you might be currently seeing. The third step is building confidence in your communication. If you are not confident in what you are saying, it will show and your audience will be left unsure. They will be left unclear and they won't know, again, how to help you. Or if you are, well, to be honest, they won't know if you know what you are doing or not. So practice and prepare. So you want to make sure that you familiarize yourself, if it's with the material or format of your presentation, so that you can speak to it with confidence. If it's you're presenting an idea for the first time, make sure that you practice even delivering it verbally and standing in front of a mirror, saying it out loud. You can also seek feedback where you are practicing with an accountability partner or your peers or mentors, so that you're able to get their feedback and refine your approach. This will be helpful because it gives you that confidence in communicating your message, but it not only strengthens your communication, but it strengthens your credibility and it enhances your persuasive power, your influence of your message. And when you do this, it allows you to overcome your self-doubt and your fear of speaking. Fear of public speaking. Well, public speaking is the number one fear that most people have. And the reason this is a fear is because, one, sometimes you may not do it enough. You don't have enough practice. The confidence isn't there. And so, or that self-doubt creeps in. A lot of people get nervous when they have to publicly speak or deliver a message. I still get nervous when I speak, but it's one of those things. If I want to have a message that I want the world to hear, or if I want to impact change, I have to get confident and practice with delivering messages to different audiences. So a strategy that you can use is practicing your message or your presentation in a low stake environment where if you make a mistake, you're not going to feel like, oh my goodness, I just made a mistake. This is over. Nobody's going to listen. And you can start that in even in some of your staff meetings. You can start it in a huddle, start it in a low stake environment with your family, with your friends. You want to focus on the positive self-talk and visualize success. So you want to visualize those successful outcomes to build confidence. This is going to be helpful for you. Always think, you know, this is going to be successful. My message is going to land well and be receptive by the key stakeholders, by my manager, by my peers. So let's talk about Sarah. Sarah was knowledgeable, but struggled with confidence when speaking in meetings. Does this sound familiar? Again, I go to a lot of meetings, and when it's time for input, sometimes the room is very quiet. And remember, we all have a seat at the table, and our seat at the table is to use our voice, not to necessarily be there in silence, because we are representing somebody who's not at the table. So Sarah's expertise was undeniable, very smart, very intelligent, yet nervous. Her nervousness in meetings undermines her authority. But because she's so nervous and it comes off as that she's very nervous, you really are not sure if she knows what she's talking about or how smart that she might be. So what she did is she started practicing her presentations with a trusted colleague, receiving constructive feedback. This practice combined with positive self-talk and focusing on her expertise significantly boosted her confidence and effectiveness in communication. So being able to build that confidence in your communication. Of course, you're going to be nervous when you're speaking about something. One of the things that I learned is sometimes when I'm nervous and I feel like my voice is shaking to stakeholders, it's come off as being extra passionate about that topic, which I didn't even know, but I got that feedback. So I was able to leverage those nerves to my advantage. So building confidence in your communication, using those positive affirmations and positive self-talk. I am an awesome speaker. I give great presentations. I am able to communicate my message so that my stakeholder can understand or my manager can understand. My message resonates with my peers. These are all examples of positive self-talk. And if you say them enough, you will believe them, and that will help build your confidence. And the last step in this for this podcast will be handling questions and feedback in a graceful way. So you went through, you prepared your message, and you delivered it. Now it's time for question and answer. And you're like, oh my goodness, what are they going to say? I've delivered this presentation, worked hard on this presentation. What questions are they going to ask? Or I'm pitching this new idea to my manager, and here's times for the questions. So how can you start to handle those questions and feedback with grace so you're not coming off like, well, why are you asking me these questions? One of the things you can do is anticipate what questions they might ask. If you prepare for potential questions, you can already have some responses ready. So you can already think through those. You can already kind of script those in your mind so that you have those questions ready to respond. You know, based off of your presentation, your message, there are going to be certain questions that might come. If you're pitching a new idea for your department and you've not covered cost, you know, a manager or administrator might want to understand the cost. You know, am I going to need additional resources as far as labor? Is this new idea going to save money? Is it going to give us efficiency? Think about some of those things if they were not covered into your presentation. Listen actively, showing respect for the person who's asking the questions by listening fully before you respond. I know it's tempting to think you know the question and jump in while they're still talking, but please don't do that. Please wait until they get the question out, hear the question. You can even rephrase part of the question to show that you were listening to ask and make sure that you understand. And then before, once you're ready to respond, then you're ready to give some thoughtful and relevant answers. So you want to make sure that you listen attentively and not you hear part of the question and now you're ready to, oh, okay, I know what they're going to ask and start jumping in. When you do this and you're prepared for the questions that may come up from your research, your presentation, or your if you stood up in a meeting and gave your position on a particular topic, if you start to think through the questions and listening, you'll have some benefits, right? So you'll be able to handle questions and feedback with an argument or response, not argument that's negative or done in a non-professional way, but you will be able to speak to maybe opposing viewpoints. And I would challenge you to always think, what could the devil's advocate say to the position, to my position on this research, or to my position on this topic that I am raising? Because if you anticipate that in advance, then you are able to respond in a professional way to something that could be perceived as a criticism, but really it's just an opposing viewpoint of your presentation or your argument. You want to stay composed under scrutiny and responding to the questions in a constructive manner. So you want to make sure if somebody's asking you these questions that you're staying composed, you're listening, and you're able to respond. And if you don't have an answer at the time, it's okay to tell the person, let me do some further research on that and get back with you. So preparing for those potential questions in advance, listening actively, and acknowledging the value of the question or the feedback before providing a response is going to be helpful for you. Let's give you a practical example with Alex. Alex, who's very good at presenting his views, often stumbles when he's faced with challenging questions or even the devil's advocate or skepticism of his particular stance or viewpoint. By adopting a mindset of seeing questions as opportunities for clarification rather than attacks, Alex improved his composure and responsiveness, enhancing his credibility and persuasiveness. So think about those things that I said, anticipating the questions, listening actively, restating the question so you're getting agreement as you are thinking through your answer. So if you struggle with communicating your views and your clarity, I would definitely say re-listen to this podcast. Effective communication is more than just sharing information. We can all share information. It's more so about persuading, engaging, and connecting with your audience. When you understand your audience, you're able to structure your message for impact. You're able to build your confidence. You're able to answer those questions that might come up in a skillful way. You can convey your viewpoints with clarity and confidence. So those four steps again for you is understanding your audience, structuring your message for impact, building confidence in your communication, that positive self-talk, that reinforcement, that practicing, and being able to handle questions and feedback with grace. Not that that is an attack, but so that you're able to answer them skillfully. If you do these things, I guarantee you, you will start to see an improvement as you deliver some of your presentations, as you start to deliver your research, as you present your ideas, as you are talking with your manager and various stakeholders, as you work on collaborative or cross-functional teams. You will be able to articulate your position on a topic, especially if it's on the opposite side of the majority of the group. And you'll be able to do these things with confidence so that you're able to have maximum confidence, clarity, and persuasion as you're working with your particular stakeholders. So as I wrap up this message, this episode today, remember, great communicators are made, not necessarily born. With practice, practice makes better, right? So practice these things, practice these strategies, and you too can excel in conveying your position, your thoughts, your ideas, and you'll be able to lead with confidence in any meeting, any presentation, or be able to give any update. I hope that this has been helpful for you. I try to give you messages that I have seen medical laboratory professionals struggle with, but this is one that you can start to implement right away. So thank you so much for joining and listening in to this episode of Elaborate Topics Podcast. I am your host, Tywana Wilson. Please connect with me on LinkedIn. Follow me if you're interested in those DISC assessments. Please reach out. Connect with my co-host, Lona Small, Stephanie Whitehead. Make sure that you share this message out. And until next time, keep leading, stay curious, and as always, keep communicating. Have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.